Let us pray. O God, be in my head and in my heart and on my lips, that I may know you and love you and speak only your word. Amen. So my family has some deep roots in North Dakota, where my wife spent a goodly portion of her childhood, her parents' ancestral home being there, a place where grandparents and cousins, aunts and uncles still live. When I joined the family, she clued me in that people in her tribe apologized a lot for almost anything, even asking a question. When we moved to Minnesota, a state we were not completely unfamiliar with, friends who were from here warned us that the same might also be true here as well. Truth be told, our experience of family living across the entire Midwest is that we are a culture quick to apologize. It's rooted, I think, at its best in our desire for harmony and civility. We don't want to be seen as presumptuous or insensitive, and we certainly don't want to inconvenience or put anyone out because of something we did. So before we ask a question, we apologize. I know you're busy. I will only take a minute. I really hate to bother you. Or before we actually ask for something, we apologize. I'm sorry, I hate to interrupt. I don't mean to put you out. Yesterday, at a crowded intersection, I found myself in a near fender bender. It was me and another driver trying to get around a traffic jam at the end of a crowded off-ramp on the interstate, and neither of us was being all too considerate about everyone else around us. And in our process, we almost slowed the whole world down even further. Our hasty and inattentive driving almost caused greater damage. And as we sat in our respective vehicles, bumpers only inches apart from each other, we both summoned our most apologetic grimaces. And then our faces contorted into inaudible expressions of guilt and shame, and the glass and metal separating us and keeping us silent, we just mouthed, and we meant it. You see, apologizing is a part of life, yet even in spite of the cultural overlay and our regional proclivity for apologizing, it isn't always second nature. You see, I live with two humans under the age of 10, and I feel like the work of parenting is a constant struggle on my part to own my own mistakes as a model for them. A task that exhausts me as I'm constantly screwing up as a father. You see, there were young eyes in the back seat when I almost smashed into this other driver. And I confess, here now before you and God and everyone, that my instinct was towards anger at the other driver and at my ineptitude, but it was not towards contrition. But there were, there in the back, these impressionable minds soaking up every moment, so malleable, so formable, and so I called upon the better angels of my nature. So it is true that despite our tendency to apologize for things innocuous, sometimes, especially in the big stuff, apologizing doesn't come naturally. It takes work. Of course, it doesn't take living with children to recognize that apology sometimes takes work. Just turn on the news and see that we live in a world with a very complicated relationship with naming and owning our own sins. Some of our elected leaders brag about their sexual exploitation of others, about how much money they make each year, while others equivocate about things like graft and bribery, about racist comments made in passing, about anti-Semitism. And still others only apologize out of expediency and self-preservation. When we see apology modeled in the wider world, we are more often confronted with inadequate and unsatisfying apologies. I'm sorry you feel that way. Or, I'm sorry my actions caused harm, but, insert a litany of excuses here. You see, when we observe Lent, there is a part of us that is mindful that we are here to confess, to admit and own up to how we have wronged each other, how we have wronged God, how we have even wronged our own selves. We are here and we endeavor over the next 40 days in a special way, in a concentrated time, to express our sins, to show that we regret how our activity and agency in the world has degraded our relationships and perhaps the planet that we share. But if we inquire closely of Ash Wednesday, we see that it is not merely apologies we make today or in this season. We're not here just to confess, not just to express regret. We are here to engage in what is called an act of penitence. Regret might imply that we are willing to change, that we are desirous not to commit the sin again, but penitence, as we have come to practice it in our tradition, is a commitment to not only confess and regret, but to repent, to turn our lives around, and with God's help, to amend our ways. In order to do this, I believe we need to get very specific. Christians, or at least Episcopalians, have gotten comfortable with what is known as the general confession, something that we do almost every Sunday just before Eucharist, naming generally and very broadly our sins. But fewer and fewer of us are familiar with that act we call confession, or going to confession, the rite of reconciliation in our prayer book. In that rite, as with our litany of penitence, which we will say in a moment, we are invited into a much more specific listing of wrongs committed. We do this not so that we will be demoralized and feel terrible, not so that we will feel like scum, but so that we can be very clear, very specific, that we are people with agency, that our lives do have a very real and concrete impact on others and on the world around us. We get specific because it's an act of truth-telling. And I think this can be liberating. You see, just as our sins are specific and not general, so is God's forgiveness for us specific and not general. You see, God's grace and love is given for each of us, uniquely, specifically, and personally, touching places deep within us that we hide from the world and which might even remain partially hidden from ourselves. If nothing else, today's odd practice of imposing ashes on our foreheads reminds us that grace, reminds us of that grace. You see, we are all human, of the dust. And one day we will return to the dust. We are flawed and broken and prone to sin against each other and against God, but we are not helpless. God, who is faithful, who created us from dust and who will, at the last will raise us from the dust, does not abandon us to our sins. There is grace and forgiveness to live changed and renewed, to amend our ways, to mend the breach, to make reparation for wrongs we've committed and for wrongs committed on our behalf. Friends, today we are here not only to make apology, but to begin anew. We are here to claim our identity as humans of the dust, and also as beloved, forgiven, grace-filled, and restored children of God. So remember that you are dust, and to dust you shall return. Remember that you are forgiven, and to God you will return. Remember, yes, that you have taken and wronged, and to them you have wronged, you can still return. Remember, confess, regret if you must, but repent and turn. As a father cares for his children, so does the Lord care for those who fear him. For he himself knows whereof we are made. He remembers that we are but dust. Amen.